I would like to welcome everyone to the Lunch and Learn for Parshas Lech Lecha, the year 5765. We have begun a new approach, as we try to every year. We are presently studying commentaries from the Sefer, the book Das Torah, Torah Knowledge, written by a great Rav who served as teacher and spiritual dean of the yeshiva, the Holy Yeshiva of Mir, the original in Poland. And he gave discourses there. He was considered one of the Musar teachers, following in the traditions dating back to the middle 1800s, Rav Yisrael Salanter. And his thoughts are, I would say, lofty. We've had the privilege of studying from the works of Rabbi Dessler, Michtav Me'Eliyahu, and so far, I see that the ideas that Rav Lvovitz, Rav Yerucham, as he is called, build upon, are based upon many of the ideas that we learned with Rav Dessler and expand upon it more. Both Rav Dessler and Rav Lvovitz are known as the Musar teachers from that ilk. The title that we chose for the lunch, for the email, the question is, who is Avraham?
I was going to say that.
Did you see that?
Last week.
Okay. Who is Avraham? The question is, who is Avraham? Okay, at first glance, it's a silly question. Who doesn't know who Avraham is? Avraham was the first Jew. He was the first to recognize God. He was the first of the patriarchs. The one of our forefathers, father of Yitzchak, grandfather of Yaakov. But the question is really, who is Avraham? And what does he mean to us? Is he just the beginning of a historical chain? Or does it go beyond that? Is his spiritual essence something that affects us till this very day? And how so? Did he just set a good example?
It's in all the prayers.
He is in all the prayers. What is the relevance of a patriarch to today? Is he just setting a good example of how to live? Is he a spiritual father in the sense that we have inherited spiritual genetic material from him, and we are thereby endowed with the ability to do what he did? If so, what is that all about? And to what extent can that be seen? So I'm going to, again, Rav Yerucham writes extensively, and I don't think ever be able to even finish reading his commentaries on a different parsha, on a given parsha, and I certainly will not be able to explain it all, or even parts of it. But what I've noticed, let's say in a parsha like this one, is that he spent a lot of time speaking about Avraham and different aspects of Avraham. And what I've done is I've kind of called several different points about Avraham and ways in which Avraham is our father. And based on his writing in various different pesukim or different paragraphs, I would like to present the significance of who Avraham is. And we can break it down into four categories. Number one, Avraham created not just the awareness of the existence of God, but actually Avraham created the existence of God. Now, I know that sounds a little heretical. Abraham created the existence of God. That sounds heretical.
The existence of God.
But I'll explain what that means. That's number one. Abraham created the existence of God. Number two, Abraham created the existence or the concept of prayer, tefillah. Number three, Abraham is the source of all blessing. Again, sounds heretical. How could Abraham be the source of blessing? Isn't God the source of blessing? And number four, Abraham taught us what the most important personal trait or quality is. What is the single most important character trait? All right, those are the four points. Now, to access these points, we really need to do basically read one pasuk and Rashi and maybe a few other references. We also have to read the first blessing in the Shemona Esrei, which is called the blessing of the Avos, of the patriarchs. We have to read these sources carefully and listen to the words of Rashi, who quotes the sages in the Talmud and in the Midrash, and then read the blessing of the Shemona Esrei, and then we will proceed to reveal the profound thoughts of Rav Yeruchah. Please God. The pasuk that we have to read, we'll just read two pasukim. The beginning of the parsha, page 54 and 55. Vayomer Hashem el Avram, Lech lecha me'artecha u'mimoladetecha mi'beis avicha el ha'aretz asher areka. Hashem said to Avram, go for yourself from your land, from your relatives, and from your father's house, to the land that I will show you. V'ezcha legoy gadol, v'avarechecha, v'agadlo shemecha, v'heye bracha. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Okay, there's four things in verse 2. Verse 2 is the verse that we're focusing on. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Okay. A little bit of redundancy. I will make of you a great nation sounds similar to and make your name great. I will bless you sounds similar to and you will be a blessing. So obviously we need further commentary to know the exact innuendos here in the pasuk. So we look at Rashi. And he has several commentaries. And I will focus on one of them, which is based on Midrash Rabbah. Okay, the great Midrash. V'yezcha legoy gadol, davar acher, another explanation. V'yezcha legoy gadol. I will make of you a great nation. Ze she'omrim Elokei Avraham. This is fulfilled by the fact that people will say that Hashem is the God of Avraham. Vavarechecha, and I will bless you, the second phrase in the verse, Ze she'omrim Elokei Yitzchak. This is fulfilled by the fact that people say that Hashem is the God of Yitzchak, which also derives from Avraham. Vagadla shemecha, Ze she'omrim Elokei Yaakov. And I will make your name great. This is fulfilled by the fact that people say the God of Yaakov. Now, it doesn't make so much sense, really. I mean, when you read it. Does it mean that every time people say these words, this is a fulfillment of this verse. I will make you into a great nation. That means that people say in their prayers, the God of Abraham. What does one have to do with the other? I mean, one is a great nation in the world, and one has to do with words of praise of God and his being the God of Abraham. So it doesn't really make a lot of sense. There may be a midrashic, like we call sometimes remez, sometime of an allusion or a hint from the verse. And the fact that there's three verses here, there's also three verses in the Shemona Esrei, you know, 3 = 3, that kind of a thing. It's a nice little remez, a nice little hint or allusion. But really, it needs further explanation as to the idea of this Rashi. Then Rashi concludes, Yachol Yehu Chosmin Bechulan. Now, the question is, okay, so we're going to mention them in our prayers, and we're going to include them in the blessing. Are we going to end the blessing also by mentioning the names of the three patriarchs, just as we mention them in the body of the blessing? Normally, the ending of the blessing sort of recapitulates the theme of the blessing. So, it would seem that we should say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen, Abraham, Yitzchak, V'Yaakov. Mm-hmm. But the answer is no. The Torah tells us don't do that. V'Heyei Bracha, that's where the fourth phrase comes in and says, you shall be a blessing. And there the allusion is, the blessing should end with you, but not with the others. Not with your son and your grandson. So, according to the Medrash then, this verse is a hint, an allusion to the concept of Shmona Esrei, starting off with a bracha that contains the forefathers. Now, Rav Yerucham expands on this Midrash and quotes another part of the Midrash, which Rashi does not quote, and adds one little innuendo here. That there was a statement by Rav Chia Bar Zeira in the Medrash. This is all the address of the Medrash is not so is meaningful to most people. They don't look it up, but it is chapter 11, paragraph 2. And there, in discussing the bracha of Shmona Esrei, Hashem says, "V'heyei bracha, you will be a blessing. Your blessing will be the first in the list. Your blessing will actually precede my blessing," God says. "My blessing is the second one. Baruch atah Hashem mechayei hameisim. Blessed are you, Hashem, who resuscitates the dead." That's my blessing, says God. The first bracha is your blessing, Abraham. And guess what? Your blessing will come before my blessing. Now, Rav Yerucham says it's a little difficult here also to understand. What do you mean it's Abraham's blessing? It's God's blessing too. All the blessings are God's blessing. Blessed are you, Hashem, who shields Abraham. What do you mean that that's Abraham's blessing? Nothing in the paragraph, nothing in the blessing is praising Abraham or praising Yitzchak or praising Yaakov. Praising Hashem for his protection of Abraham, his relationship with Abraham or Yitzchak or Yaakov. Why does Hashem say, Abraham, you have first dibs. You lead off the batting order. Your bracha comes before mine. What do you mean? They're both Hashem's bracha. Okay, what I've done so far is I've basically read to you the sources. The Pasuk, the Rashi. Not so well understood. Seems to be a little bit of an illusion of some sort. We've talked about the bracha of Shmona Esrei and the additional piece of the Midrash that Hashem seems to call the first blessing Avraham's blessing. I just, before we go on to the explanation, I just want to throw out one halachic point, which is very, very important for anybody that davens and has a hard time davening with kavana, with full concentration. It's an amazing thing. The halacha says you should try to concentrate on, if not the words, but at least the themes of every bracha. And you say the Shmoneh Esrei. If you didn't, you still fulfilled the mitzvah of davening. However, there's one blessing that if you didn't concentrate, you didn't fully focus on what you were saying, you have not fulfilled the Shmoneh Esrei, and you would have to repeat it. And that is the first blessing, the blessing of the Avos. And I never understood why that one should be more than all the others, truly. I mean, in fact, that's not even one of the blessings that makes any requests for things. That starts really from the fourth on. So why should there be any kind of preferential treatment of one bracha over the other? I think after Rav Yerucham's words, we have an idea as to why that is so. Okay, so here's what Rav Yerucham says. We have to understand that without a recipient who recognizes and accepts God, God does not exist in the world. God does not exist in the world. God exists, but he does not exist in the world. He makes an analogy of the sun. You know, the sun is out there, and it's giving out rays, but it's only because we have sensory perception of those rays that we realize that the sun is there. Our eyes see it, our skin feels it, plants are affected by the direction and by the intensity of the rays. There's a difference between the seasons because of the closeness of the rays to the earth. God is the same way. God has infinite power, but it takes a receiver, it takes a perceiver of God to make God in the world. Until Abraham came along, God was, I mean, there's some individuals, Adam had a relationship with God, Noah, there were very, very few and far between. In a sense, Abraham was the first who perceived God. And not he perceived it and he acted upon it in a big way. He started to spread it. Abraham truly, for as far as the world is concerned, created the existence of God in the world. He made it such that a person could actually be with God and that God could be with a person. He made God the king in the sense a king is only a king if he has subjects. Abraham innovated the notion, and he innovated it so that everyone can understand this. The notion that a person, that people can make Hashem their king. Before he came along, God wasn't the king. He was a king without a kingdom. Abraham was praised by those who saw him. And they said, Elohim imcha, God is with you. In other words, what they're saying is, we didn't know there was a God until we met you. Now that we meet you, we see God. We see that God exists. Because before you, we were walking around, we didn't perceive anything. This is the first mention of this is in chapter 21, verse 22. We were talking about, that's in the next parsha. You're talking about people who were idol worshippers, who saw Abraham, and they said, God is with you. What they're really saying, they're not just saying, there's something special about you, Abraham. They're not just saying, you're a great person, you're a righteous man. They're saying, we see God because we see you. We see that God is the king of the world because we see you. Rav Yerucham quotes an explanation of the Shmoneh Esrei when it says, Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Velokei Yaakov, Hakel Hagodol Hagibor V'Yanora. God is great, mighty, and awesome. supreme. How do we know that God is great and mighty and awesome? Because Avraham was great and mighty and awesome. Throughout the stories in this parsha, how Avraham goes to war, how he takes on the four kings who already overpowered the five kings, he took them on single-handedly and he won. We saw that Avraham was great, was mighty. We saw that he did wonderful, awesome things. He was praised. Baruch Avraham Lekel Elyon. Blessed be Avraham to the Supreme God. In other words, we perceive the world, perceive God by perceiving Avraham. And just to quote some of the words that Rav Yerucham uses, that as far as Avraham revealed godliness in the world, that is the extent of the level that which the Jewish people can perceive God's presence in the world. To the extent that Avraham made Hashem his king, to that extent we have the potential of making God our king. But more than that, it's not possible. It is not possible for us to perceive God in any greater measure than Avraham perceived God. It's as if God only exists through the experience of Avraham for us. The story of the Jewish people, the story of the Jewish people going to Egypt and you know, suffering there and crying out and God coming to our aid and performing the miracles and the Exodus and the giving of the Torah, the revelation there, and the subsequent building of the tabernacle, the Mishkan, and the Divine Presence, the Shekhinah, coming to dwell among them. What that was the Jewish people as a nation coming back, reaching back to the level that Avraham had personally forged his relationship with God. It's not possible that we could have surpassed it. And therefore, our knowledge of God, our first point, which is God, that Avraham created the existence of God in the world, that is true. Our ability to relate to God comes from Avraham's ability to relate to God. And we are just riding on his shoulders. So he's not merely a person who set a good example. He's not merely somebody who bequeathed to us certain quality traits. He set the bar, more than he set the bar, he created the degree of ability, of possibility of God's revelation into the world. And whatever degree he revealed it, that's our capacity. No more. Rav Yerucham says that in the future, when there will be a final redemption, God will reveal himself. It's possible that he will reveal himself to a greater degree than even Avraham did. But until that day, that's the limit. So, we see from here that the revelation of God in the world comes through people. It comes through those who can receive his essence. Avraham was the ultimate mekabel, the ultimate receiver of God's presence, and therefore, what we know of God is only through him. This is why Hashem said to Avraham, your bracha comes before mine. You really came first, Avraham, in the sense of people's ability to perceive me. It's your bracha. This bracha is about you. Not about me giving you something, but actually you creating my awareness and my, not more than awareness, you created my existence in the world. Yes, let's take a moment to clarify. Yes, sir.
In the third line of the first paragraph, is this an accurate translation? And secondly, what is your reaction? I will bless those who bless you, and who curse you, I will curse you.
Yeah.
And all the families of the earth shall bless themselves by you.
Yeah.
Is that an accurate translation?
Yeah. Is that what it says here? Yeah. The families of the earth shall bless themselves by you. Okay. What's the problem?
It hasn't happened.
Oh, that all the families of the earth shall bless themselves by you?
Mm-hmm. Every time I
feel. Well, actually, it does.
It has happened.
It does happen.
It has happened.
Even Christians and Muslims.
People don't recognize
it. Blessing of Abraham.
All the families of the earth.
No, okay, so maybe bless themselves. Maybe that's questionable. Will be blessed. The Nivrachu v'cha, they will be blessed by you. That's how it may be translated differently. We're going to get to that a little bit later in the section on blessing. Yes?
Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Hashem face to face, like somebody spoke to his friend, etc. He didn't have a higher understanding of Hashem than Abraham?
Good question. Let's say this. God, and I hope this is the right answer. One of the things that God had to do for the Jewish nation was to reveal the Torah, and it had to be very, very clear. And in order to do that, He had to reveal it with clear speech. Which no other prophets really had. And so he did it. He did it because the Jewish people needed it. He didn't do it because Moshe created the possibility for that. In other words, Moshe was also riding upon the shoulders of Abraham. Abraham carved out the niche. And once the niche was carved out, then God said, "We will now follow in that. We will now come into that niche as well." And part of having that for the nation means that I'm going to have to reveal prophecy to Moshe in a way that you didn't have. But it's only because you created this spiritual potential. I don't know if that satisfies you. Yeah, did you have another question?
I did.
Yeah. Okay, Jeffrey.
Well, with the Pharaoh, he said, make your God greater than my God.
Yeah.
See, the Pharaoh had many beliefs in so many gods.
Right.
And he said, look, your people, your God has allowed your people to live in slavery for so long.
Mm-hmm.
He says, why didn't your God do something before then?
Why didn't God save us from slavery before then?
Right.
Because we didn't cry out to Him. We didn't ask Him for help. As soon as we cried out for help, immediately He started saving us. That's an important lesson. Yeah, we once talked about that. I'll show you that verse after class. Okay.
From your language, I had the feeling that somewhere along the way there, it's sort of like God needs us. In a sense,
mm-hmm.
if Avram doesn't recognize Him, then He doesn't exist. But He created the world and everything.
Yeah.
Some of this gives us power over Him. You say, now I have to reveal the Torah this way. Through my friend. He doesn't need us. In a sense,
He does need us to fulfill the purpose of which He created us. Yeah,
it's like
I want this for you, but you have to do something in order for it to succeed.
He wants it for us. The question is, you make it sound like He loses power if we don't recognize Him.
Right.
But
it's true.
He's powerful.
Because God in this world is not the essence of God. We don't know what the essence of God is. We only know how God relates to His world, to His creatures. And in order for Him to relate to His creatures, there has to be an active part by the creatures. And so when we say God needs us, what it means is that in order for Him to bestow to us what He wants to bestow to us, He needs us to play an active role. If we don't play the active role, He won't give it to us for free. Mm-hmm. And Abraham, before Abraham came along, there was a question whether the world would continue to exist. And I have some news. The continuation of the world, the constant maintenance of the world, is also predicated on our continuity of upholding the Torah. It has been stated by great rabbis that if there would at any moment in the world be a total cessation of Torah study, the world would return to emptiness and void. That's one of the reasons why God made the world a sphere, so that there would always be awakeness. Somebody would be up, and there'd be Jews different parts of the world, etc., etc. But again, everything that we're doing, but the niche was carved out only by Abraham. And we're just living in his footstep, the footstep that he created. Hannah.
Yeah,
we don't really know that what was revealed at Sinai was more than what Abraham understood.
Oh, you're right. Abraham understood it. And maybe that's another answer. Abraham understood the entire Torah too. But Abraham never had the Torah revealed to him in such a clear manner because he didn't have to communicate it with words to millions of people. In order for Moshe to be able to transmit the Torah to millions of people, he needed, you know, the word by word and all those kind of benefits. Spiritually, he wasn't on a higher level.
He didn't understand Hashem better or equal to Abraham?
Yeah, maybe equal to. I don't think better. He had a more direct prophecy, but did he reach a higher level spiritually of knowledge of God? I don't believe so. That would call the whole thing into question. I think that we have to make that assumption.
I hear what you're asking, but that can be turned around. Abraham intuitively understood the existence of God. God didn't reveal himself in flame and fire on top of a mountain to him.
Right.
Moshe didn't really grasp who God was at the burning bush. He really didn't come to grips with who God was until they actually left Egypt. Mm-hmm. To that point, he was unclear what it was he was dealing with. Abraham had a clear understanding of what he was dealing with right from the beginning.
True, but it also says, you know, Abraham walked before God, and Moshe Rabbeinu spoke with God face to face. I saw eventually at some point in his development, Moshe seems to have become more familiar with Hashem.
You might say that God had to do more to raise Moshe up than he did Abraham.
Maybe.
Yeah, but that's just men over the age of 20.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay, before we move on, the idea we have here is that it takes a person to create the existence of God in the world. That person was Abraham. And what we should learn from this is that basically what we're trying to do in life is we're trying to stand in Abraham's shoes. Because that only we could not possibly experience God or the world or anything in a way that he didn't do already. So now I would like to go on to the next point, which is tefillah. And now this we understand through a statement of the seemingly surprising statement in the Gemara, in Brachos, which says that anybody who sits in a makom kavua, who goes to a set place when he davens, this is the concept when you go to a shul, or even if you're davening at home, you should try to stay in the same place every time you daven. And anybody who sets a place for his prayers, the God of Abraham comes to his aid, and such a person who lives his life by setting a place for prayer, it will be said about him, like in his eulogies after he passes away, look at this humble person. Look at this pious person. He's one of the students of Abraham. Now, that's a pretty big statement. Just because I sit in the same place in the shul, where when I go to shul, I am humble. That makes me humble. That makes me pious. That makes me one of Abraham's students. You know what? A lot of people, because they want to sit in their seat in shul, are the most unhumble, the most unpious, the most irreverent people, just because they want to sit in their seat. So, what does it mean that by sitting in the same seat for davening, you get all these accolades? And why should Hashem come to my... Why should Hashem and why specifically the God of Abraham will come to his aid during his life?
In a different seat, God wouldn't recognize you.
So the idea here is just as we've mentioned, that everything that we do, we're just trying to follow in Abraham's footsteps. Abraham happened to be one of the first to, I don't know... maybe the first, who actually davened to Hashem. Again, he created that reality. It doesn't say it so explicitly, but there is a verse in Bereishis that says that Abraham returned to the place at which he stood. This is in chapter 19, verse 27. El Hamakom Asher Amad Sham, to the place where he stood. And the Gemara picks up on this and he says that was the place where he always prayed. And when we pray, we actually have to imagine, this is the thought process we have to do when we pray. We have to say, we're praying because Avraham prayed. We're able to stand here and talk to God and communicate with Him and He hears us because Avraham created that possibility in the world. And really what I'm doing by davening is I'm trying to imitate, I'm trying to hook into the energy of that Avraham created. And when a person does that, now I don't. That's why I think you have to fulfill this dictum of the Gemara. You can't be sitting in the same place because you want to be territorial. You have to have in mind that you're doing this because this is what Avraham established. So if you do that, if you sit in the place because Avraham established this reality, you are actually hooking into his energy. You are experiencing God's benefits through Avraham. And you deserve to be called Avraham's disciple. You deserve to actually acquire some of his character traits because you're emulating him, even though you're emulating him maybe in an external way. But by doing that, some of his traits will rub off on you. You will become humble. You will become a chassid, and Hashem will come to your aid the same way he comes to Avraham's aid because you are hooking in to Avraham's pathway.
Does that mean that David hooked on to Abraham's ways too?
Yes, everybody, all of the great tzaddikim were hooking into Abraham's energy. Yes.
Couldn't Tavua also mean of a state of mind, like when you daven, you change focus.
Yes.
You change gears. So you're Tavua in that way.
That's good.
Which means if you travel a lot.
Right.
It doesn't mean you're not Tavua.
That's true. That's true. That's true. It's not exclusively. Right. The idea of the place is only because it's easier to focus when you're at that place. But you're right. If you can, you know, plug in your laptop wherever you are, you're still going to be able to check your email. And this likewise, you can be anywhere you are and be koveya makom and set that place. Okay, very good. Very good. So far we've talked about the idea that Avraham established and created the reality of Hashem, the existence of Hashem in the world. It is through him that Hashem exists for us. It is through him that we are attaching, we are connecting when we daven. And if we have that in mind, we will actually hook in to all of the benefits of his path. Number three, the idea of blessing. Now, one of the verses there was Behayeh Bracha. Behayeh Bracha. You shall be a blessing. Now, what does that mean, you shall be a blessing? Now, we're not, for the moment, we're not following the Midrashic interpretation of Rashi, that it refers to the ending of the blessing of the Shemona Esrei, that it ends with you and not with the other names. I'm just looking at the words Behayeh Bracha as an independent concept. What that means is, Rashi says on that the brachos will be given into your hand. Here's Rashi on the words Vayei Bracha, the first interpretation that we skipped. Habracha nesunos biyadcha. Brachos will be placed into your hand. Ad achshav hayu biyadi. This is like Hashem talking. Until now, Avraham, blessings were in my hand. Berachti es Adam. I blessed Adam. V'es Noach. And Noach. And I bless you. V'v'achshav ata tevarech es asher tachpots. Now you will give blessing to people. But Rav Yerucham takes that even further. It's not merely that Avraham will pronounce, whenever he sees people, he'll say, you know, be blessed, you should have health, you should have long life, etc., etc. Now that Avraham's gone, so what? Nobody blesses anymore. What it means is that because of Avraham's accomplishments, because of the pathways that he opened, because of the awareness that he opened to God, God said, you know, all of my wellsprings of things that I like to give to people, I used to do it, you know, it was like a gift from me to them. They were undeserving. You came along, you opened up these pathways, you have now earned, you've acquired tickets to these blessings. And because you established the pathway, now the world is entitled to these blessings on your behalf, for your sake. That's what it means, you are a blessing. It's not that Avraham has to be alive and say, to give everybody individual bracha. The fact that Avraham existed is a source of blessing to the world. And Rabbi Yerucham says something incredible. He says, there's two ways to petition for blessings. You could ask for the blessings. Or, what's another way? That's like the long way. What's the other? What's the short way? You just have to say that you want to attach yourself to Avraham. Because Avraham is the source of blessing. If you identify with Avraham, if you want to emulate him, if you want to hook onto his energy, he's the source of blessing. That means not that he produces it, but that he brings it down to the world in his merit. And by standing in his shoes and by emulating him, you are entitled to the blessings. Now we can understand the halacha. It's incredible. I never understood. How come I'm supposed to have kavana in all of the Shmona Esrei, intention, focus, understanding, but if I didn't, I still fulfill it. But one bracha, no, you've got to have kavana. Why that bracha, the bracha about the patriarchs? Why more than the other ones? Because actually, the first bracha is really all you need, in a sense. It's what turns it on. It's what turns on the faucet of blessing, is connecting with Avraham, recognizing that Avraham is the source of blessing, because Avraham created the possibility of spiritual connection to God in the world. And all you have to do is stand in his shoes, and you are opening up the faucet of blessing. It's incredible. That's what we're doing when we're diving. That's why this bracha is first. The first thing we do when we stand before Hashem, before we ask Him for insight and understanding and teshuvah and forgiveness and prosperity, is we have to say, I want to attach myself to Avraham. I want to emulate Him. I want to just stand next to Him. Or just stand in His shadow. So Avraham is the source of God's existence. Avraham is the source, is the taught us, and is the connection for prayer. And by connecting with him, we are able to receive the benefits of prayer. And Avraham is the source of blessings. The Hayyeh Bracha, you will be a blessing. And finally, Avraham teaches us about the most important character trait. We dealt with this extensively last year in Rav Dessler. He talks about the Midos, the qualities, the unique qualities of the patriarchs. Avraham is Chesed. Kindness. Avraham, all the stories of Avraham about how he went to do kindness with people. People that were good to him, people that weren't good to him, family, non-family, everybody. Chesed. We talked about the Midah of Chesed. We spent 3 weeks just talking about the Rav Dessler's treatise on Chesed and what Chesed is all about. We also have other attributes. Yitzchak had the attribute of Gevura, of strength. The ability to be self-directed and self-disciplined, and that's almost an opposite of Chesed in a way. So it's two necessary poles. And Yaakov had also an attribute, the attribute of, who remembers? Emes, truth. Truth, Emes. We spent much time about truth as well. But and Emes is kind of like the ability to synthesize Chesed and Gevura.
There was a picture between Yaakov and Yitzchak, and that is where Yitzchak was going to be sacrificed. The same place where Yaakov was laying down. He put the rocks down, and when he woke up in the morning, there was just one rock there, under the Beis HaMikdash.
Right, right. Very good. The Beis HaMikdash was there because of Avraham. Mm-hmm. Because Avraham listened to Hashem to take his son to the Akedah. That's why we have a Beis HaMikdash, because of Avraham. Because he created the possibility of a Beis HaMikdash. Everything is because Avraham made it possible. But, okay. So we have the Midah of Chesed, the meter of the quality, the trait of kindness, the trait of strength, gvura, the trait of emes. Okay, so is it like a tripod? Like the world stands on three things, that kind of a thing? In a sense, yes. In practice, we have to have chesed, we have to practice gevura, we have to practice emes. But remember what it says in the Shmon Esrei, and remember what the Medrash says. God is the God of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, which means that each of the patriarchs created some type of a new reality, a new awareness, a new power of God. Abraham through Chesed, Yitzchak through Gevura, Yaakov through Emes. But will we end off with all of them at the end of the bracha? Will we say Magen Abraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov? No. We will only end off with Abraham. What does that tell us about the qualities? Says Rav Yerucham, what that tells us is that the ultimate quality is Chesed. What does it mean, the ultimate quality of Chesed? Is Chesed. Chesed is the midah of Hashem. The whole reason why God created the world was to give us Chesed, was to be kind, was to reward us. You can't just live in a world and just have the midah of Chesed, because if you do, you'll go off the deep end. We spoke about that last year. So you need other things. Gevura. You need laws. You need a system of courts. Because if people don't have courts, they will not properly do chesed. And if there's no truth, there will not be adherence to the laws. But all of the purpose of the gevura, the purpose of the emes, is really to maintain chesed. The tachlis, the purpose of existence, the purpose of man who emulates God, is to develop the quality of chesed, of kindness. If a person has a choice, right, of pursuing gevura or pursuing emes for its goal's sake, it's not like you have a choice of three. The only choice is chesed. Chesed is the purpose. You need the other ones to make chesed possible. But Abraham taught us, not only did he create the existence of God in the world, not only did he establish the pathway of prayer, not only is he the source of blessing, but he's also, his life's work is indicative of what is truly the most important thing. The most important thing for a person to live and to emulate is the midah of chesed. Everything else is to maintain the balance so that chesed can be done.
Excuse me?
Okay.
Until Yitzhak is born, did Abraham know that he would be the father to a great nation?
No. Until he was told by Hashem.
Only when Yitzhak was born did he was
born. No, he knew it when Hashem told him it would happen. He didn't have to wait until the fulfillment. As soon as God told him, it's as good as done. And he didn't even question God when he said, well, you got to take your son and bring him to the Kedah and slaughter him. Didn't even question. Right. Why? Because if Hashem said that it would be. Abraham created the idea of faith in God. He created trust in God. He created everything that we have was created by Abraham. So, I believe that concludes all of the points. We started off with the title of Who is Abraham? And hopefully, through our comments by Rav Yerucham Lefovitz today, we understand a little bit more about who Abraham is. That Abraham is truly the patriarch he has invented or created for us to the existence of God in the world. He has created the concept of prayer. He has become the source of blessing if we only hook into his energy. And above all, he has taught us that our purpose in life, our primary purpose, for which all other things support, is to emulate the midah of chesed, emulating Hashem, and this should be the primary guiding light of our lives.
Shkoyach.